Today, my dear faithful, is the third Sunday after Easter. And the epistle is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to refrain yourselves from carnal desires, which war against the soul, having your conversation good among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by the good works which they shall behold in you, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be ye subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether it be to the king as excelling, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of the good. For so is the will of God, that by doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not as making liberty a cloak for malice, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and Gentile, but also to the froward. For this is thanksworthy in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said one to another, "What is this that he saith to us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We know not what he speaketh." And Jesus knew that they had a mind to ask him, and he said to them, "Of this do you inquire among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she hath brought forth a child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. So also you now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the greatest tragedies of modern time, my dear faithful, was the Second World War. Millions died in this conflict, including the thousands who died on August 9, 1945, when an atomic bomb was dropped on the city of Nagasaki. One of the survivors of the atomic bomb was Dr. Takashi Nagai. Takashi Nagai was a well-known convert to the Catholic faith, a voluminous writer, as well as a leader for the survivors of Nagasaki. And that was why on November 23rd, 3 months after the bombing, the Bishop of Nagasaki asked Dr. Nagai to speak at the public mass the bishop offered for the repose of the souls of those who had died in the bombing. And so it came to pass, Nagai stood in front of his fellow survivors of Nagasaki. Some had lost their spouse, while others lost their children, their siblings. And then there were the little orphans, left alone in the world. Before these hundreds of suffering souls, Dr. Nagai stood to speak, for he had shared with them the sufferings of that dread day on August 9th. You see, on that day, Dr. Nagai was sitting in his office, about to write notes for a case, when a brilliant light flashed in through the window. Before the doctor had time to move, the windows then exploded. Shards of glass flew at him and cut him on his face. Then a rushing wall of wind picked him up bodily and threw him 10 feet across the room into a wall. A number of objects flew with him and landed on top of Nagai, pinning him against that wall. Then darkness came as the bomb's mushroom cloud drowned out the sun. In the gloom, Nagai heard the crackling of fire, the moans of the injured, and cries for help. Eventually, the surviving hospital staff found Nagai and freed him. Nagai then rose and left the hospital, and outside, he found almost everything destroyed. The hospital, his city, his home, as well as the life of his beloved wife, Midori, were all taken from him that day. And so, 3 months later, this man knew the pain, the heartache, his audience felt at that funeral mass. And yet, Dr. Nagai startled his fellow mourners as he explained to them that he had accepted the devastation of his city and theirs as coming from the hand of God. He told them that God had allowed the atomic bomb, all this loss, all this heartache, as a means of reparation. You see, the city of Nagasaki was one of the centers of Catholicism in Japan. In fact, Nagasaki was where the Catholics, after almost 300 years of persecution, where they first welcomed a Catholic priest back to Japan. And because Nagasaki was so thoroughly Catholic, Dr. Nagai explained, God allowed the bombing of this city so that this sorrow and loss could be offered in reparation for all the atrocities that had been committed throughout World War II. Nagai then told the story of what had taught this lesson to him. You see, on the day of the bombing, as evening drew on, the sound of a group of women softly singing was heard in the makeshift hospital. Nagai and the hospital staff, though, were too tired from the long, tragic day to take the time to look into who had the heart to left to sing in this valley of death. It was not until the next day that someone happened upon what remained of a nearby convent and the bodies of the sisters who had not survived. Many had apparently been killed immediately by the explosion, but not all. Some of the sisters were badly burnt and were too injured to go to the hospital. Instead, they crawled together, and together they sang hymns. Slowly, each sister passed into eternity, and their last words on earth were hymns sung to God. What a tragedy, my dear faithful. And yet, what a glory those sisters had. Truly, they were made sorrowful that day. But their sorrow was turned into joy, as our Savior promised in today's gospel. Our Lord was forewarning his apostles and his disciples of the crosses they would soon have to carry for being a follower of Christ. They would suffer persecution, hunger, thirst, torture, and even martyrdom for the sake of their faith. But all this sorrow shall be turned into joy. Every cross they carried will be their glory in heaven. And their crosses carried well would be the means of winning other souls to the faith. And now our Lord says the same words of warning and encouragement to us as well. Our own sorrows and sufferings are our own means of gaining heaven for ourselves and for others as well. God has placed us here, given us the faith, the Mass, the sacraments. We, above all others who have received so much from God, should give something back to our God for all he has given us. But we have another reason to give something back to God Almighty. We are Americans, my dear faithful. And just as the country of Japan needed reparation for its sins in World War II, so our country needs reparation. Our country's evil laws, approving abortion and unnatural vice, cry to heaven for vengeance. Furthermore, we are Catholics living in an age when the hierarchy of the church have abandoned the faith and led so many Catholics away from true doctrine and morals. Who will make reparation for these sins if not us? By giving us the faith, our Lord has asked us to do this. In the revelations of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary, our Lord begged for reparation for the sins and ingratitude of mankind. He even gave us the means to do this, for he asked us to keep him company in the Blessed Sacrament with a holy hour of reparation. And that is why each and every day here at the convent, and as well at the seminary and all of the chapels where we are stationed, we have a holy hour of reparation. But there is also, on the night of every First Friday, our Savior is exposed in the Blessed Sacrament throughout the night until benediction the next morning. For all that time, our Lord is upon the altar waiting for adorers. He waits for reparation for the crimes committed against him, committed by our country, by fallen away Catholics, by the souls of our times. He asks us to make this sacrifice, to come and spend this time with him. Yes, even though it is in the middle of the night. In fact, because it is in the middle of the night, because it means a sacrifice of our time, our sleep, our comfort. The great amount of sins that outrage our Savior today requires great sacrifices. And who will make this? Who will carry this cross? Who will pay the weight of justice if we do not? If the sins of the world in World War II required such a terrible sacrifice as the atomic bomb, what sacrifice will our world require, since it seems the world is at war with God himself? And thus, if you can, my dear faithful, come to the all-night adoration on First Fridays. If distance or time does not allow, I encourage you to make an hour of adoration at home. Kneel there with your family, if possible, before our Lord, before an image of his most sacred heart. Give him your love. Spend that time with him. Make reparation for the innumerable sins committed against our Savior, wounding his heart again and again every day. For the sins of our times, the sins of our beloved America, and the sins of Catholics lost in today's confusion, make a return to our Lord, my dear faithful. As Catholics, when so few are Catholic, we must pay this debt. I encourage you to use the all-night adoration as the means. Comfort the Sacred Heart for all the offenses committed against it, and you will turn our Lord's sorrow at the sins of man into joy, that you at least love him and are willing to make such sacrifices of love for him. In this way, you will lighten the weight of justice, and you open the floodgates of mercy. That is the Sacred Heart. We do not know what lies in our future, but with God's grace, anything, even the conversion of our nation and our world, is possible. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.